This has been a wonderful week and really, really painful week personally for me and my family. And those coincide, the highs and the lows. You know, we talk about being thankful. And I love that. I think when Paul says, be thankful in all circumstances, that's something that we can go, yeah, looks really good on you. And you should be thankful. And if you want to chase away anger, be grateful. And all those things. And it's wonderful. And it rolls off the tongue. But what about when things don't go the way you had hoped they would? Or way worse than that. It's the reality that God is good. Long time ago, I learned about this kind of idea of a tapestry and this cross stitch and all that. I didn't learn how to do it, so I won't be doing any pillows for you or anything. But what I heard from this dear woman way back at North Shore Baptist Church back 30-plus years ago for me and just new in Jesus, she said, have you ever seen how these are done? And I'm like, I mean, my grandma has done it and stuff. I don't really pay attention to it. And she goes, well, let me show you something. And she had, you know, one of those bags. You already know, right? And it had like wooden handles, you know? And so she opens it and she pulls this kind of cross stitch thing out and she shows me the backside of it. And it's kind of a pattern, but it's really just a bunch of different threads and it's all over the place. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, do I tell her it looks like trash? I mean, it's terrible. I mean, maybe she's learning and she's trying to have somebody else learn alongside of her. But that's like the hubris and the pride of being somebody who thinks they know stuff. And she says, so you see that? I'm like, yeah. I was like, what's it going to be? And she goes, it's already something. And she flipped it and showed me the other side. And there's these flowers, and I don't even know what the passage was because I was just so, like, taken back by what an idiot I was because I make it about me a lot. But I was also taken aback by the fact that it was so messy on one side and so beautiful on the other. And I know that this glorious grace coming alongside of us, teaching us, helping us to grow, is sometimes God flips it and says, look, I'm doing something. Now we know that he's doing something. He's faithful to complete the work that he begins in us, it says in Philippians 1:6. But I just want a glimpse, God. And I'm like talking to him like he owes me something. And he doesn't snot rocket me into eternity because he's gracious and he's kind. And so today, I want to say to you that though a week can be highs and lows and it can start out with a really, really amazing concert on a Monday, seeing some of my favorite worship leaders in the world, Lecrae and Torrin Wells, with dear friends of mine, to my wife finding out that her uncle had passed and then trying to get everything together for her to try and go and see family she hadn't seen in 40 years and then finding out that my brother-in-law is racked with cancer and knowing that he is a God-fearer. He recognizes that there's a God and he's not God, but he hasn't submitted his life to Jesus. He hasn't recognized that Jesus is that God. And I'm like, what in the world? And a dear friend of mine, we had lunch together and he goes, hey, hold on. I've had cancer and it was pretty significant. I'm like, I know, bro. And it was just like really quick. And he goes, I don't know how many people in 6 months have come up and told me their story about cancer. And like their loved one's story about cancer and absolute horrendous stuff that went on. And yet, how good things have been for them as a result. And I'm like, what? And he goes, think about your brother. You said he doesn't know Jesus yet? And I'm like, well, he knows about him. He grew up in a Catholic home, and he grew up I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm an evangelist. I'm not going to leave my family out, although that's pretty easy, right? Sometimes you're like, well, you know how Thanksgiving can be. Aaron's going to start preaching. Don't let him pray. We want to eat sometime, right? I mean, but just because I've been a pastor most of my relationship with him doesn't really mean that he is submitted to Jesus. And so my friend says, remember, your brother-in-law, I'm like, yeah, he goes, if he would have died suddenly, he may not be in the kingdom. But he's got a battle ahead of him, and he's going to have some time where he's a pretty captive audience. And he might be more inclined to submit his life to Jesus. So this man who's battled cancer has had a number of people in his life that he's lost to cancer, looked me in the face and said, cancer can be a gift. And some of you aren't ready to hear that right now, and I'm not trying to make you hear it. I'm not trying to make you believe something. I'm just telling you what a man testified to, and I'll bring you back to what I first told you. Sometimes cancer, sickness, death, all kinds of things in addition to those things look like the messy, nasty threads, but God can flip it, and you can see a pattern, you can see a picture. And so to his glory, we're going to talk about being prepared for action through 1 Peter. If this is your church home, you love Jesus, and you're a giver because God called you to give, then you can give in the back on that black box. And it always reminds me of the whole black box thing, you know, at the airplane, and why don't they make the whole plane out of that, right? But, or you can give online, and I really think you can or you can't. You can give whatever you want or nothing. Jesus loves you still, and I know I do. And I don't even know what people give. I barely know what I give, but my wife and I have agreed. So, I mean, we're on a page. But I also want to point out that I do look like I slept in my clothes. That's just normal. That's wrinkled clothes. My hair is what it is. I've got some, and it's happening. And it's like, but it looks worse. And one of my kids said, Dad, you look like you're hanging on. Mom, my wife's gone, and I'm here, my kids, and no, you're just hanging on. I'm like, to my hair? Maybe. I don't know. It says it's hanging on to my back. All right, never mind. We're done. Gross. Prepared for action. Some of you, this is your first time here and might be your last time. God bless you. So happy to have you here once. All right. We have a world that is desperately falling apart, and I don't know if you've read through the Bible or you've heard any doomsday prophets or anything like that, but it doesn't get better on its own. There's revival and there's repentance and all that, but Jesus comes back and makes it all better. It doesn't get better without him. But we do, and we can. And so we're talking about it, and today we're getting after a word that I've been asked multiple times in weddings to keep out of the ceremony. Do you know what word I'm talking about? And there's a lot of women's voices right there. There's men too, right? Submit. Submitting. So today we're going to talk about submitting, why and how. We're going to 1 Peter 2. Join me there, please. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15. And then we're going all the way down to the end of 1 Peter 2, verse 25. Submission is difficult. I was thinking about how some of my pants somehow have shrunk while they're hanging up. And my friend said to me a long time ago, he goes, man, Aaron, those pants look like uncle pants. And I'm like, what? He goes, your pants look like they're screaming, uncle! I'm like, yeah. And he was right. But that's submission. Sometimes we think like the submission hold, your uncle, look, come here, boy. Say uncle, right? And that's why we don't like submission. But we, if we're just being honest, we don't like submission because we don't really like to give up control. And I love it. In Ephesians 5, there's this wonderful lesson, and I am prepping a little bit today for next week, because I get to talk about women submitting. And there's a passage here that says women are weaker vessels, and some of you are going to be like, I'll skip that one. But please come. The whole counsel of God's word is really, really good, and I'm excited to see how all that works. But this idea of submission in marriage comes from the idea that God actually submitted himself to us. He never stopped being God. Submit to one another, it says in Ephesians 5:21, out of reverence for Christ. Well, I don't really feel like submitting to him or to her. What about out of fear and reverence for Christ? I'm not talking about being piñatas, and yet you're about to hear that God says when people are chumps, you can still submit. And that's really hard. Good news, we have an example in Jesus. Here we go. 1 Peter 2:13-15. Bless you. Be subject or submit for the Lord's sake. If you're going to fall asleep, pay attention to this one. Be subject for what? Who's the Lord we're talking about? That was so good. God, Jesus, one Lord. Yes. Yes, all of it. God, Jesus. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or the king as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Right now, some of you are crawling in your skin. For this is the will of God. Somebody else, can somebody say that out loud for me? For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. At this very moment, I'm thinking Romans 13:1. And so since I'm thinking that and I get the microphone for this morning, we're going to go to Romans 13:1. And I would love for anybody who's got it or they want to read it from the screen, but if preferably I'll ask somebody who has a good old-fashioned Bible in their hands, like a book with paper, if they would read Romans 13:1 out loud for us, right where you're at. Thank you, Adedayo. Submit. Be subject to the governing authorities, because God put them in charge. Why? Some of us are like, I don't know. Some of you, and I've done this myself, some of us have this idea that we're going to get to heaven and go, God, I got a question about Jay Inslee. Hey, God, what about Donald Trump? Like, you're going to get to heaven, right? You show up. It's lit up by the Most High God. Oh, my goodness. It's Yahweh. I have a couple questions real quick. Come on, friends. God is God and we're not. There's some things I don't understand. But what I just read and what you just read, and yes, I'm going to give a little flip side of the coin. But can we just sit for a second in this and hear that God said, submit for Christ's sake. Submit. My grandfather used to say the phrase, for Christ's sake, and he was not honoring Jesus. But you and I get to. Why would we submit? For Jesus' sake. Let me ask you, we're right here, Sunday morning. You're supposed to have some person get up and blast for 45 minutes, and I probably will. But can I ask you? what does it mean to submit to all the governing authorities for the Lord's sake? If you don't know, we're about to unpack it in some significant ways. But I'm saying before we launch into that, what's a good reason? What's a good explanation for submitting for the Lord's sake? What does that even mean? God has established the authorities, even ungodly authorities. Not even a yep. It's like, yep, he has. He used Cyrus. He called Cyrus his anointed. A pagan king? There's really very few other kinds of kings.
Truth is truth.
Truth is truth.
You gotta do what's right.
Amen.
Because it's right.
Okay.
It helps you be a light.
Amen.
Others.
Amen. That's good. Whew. He does got you. And he's using all kinds of things, like that thread and all that. Joe. Somebody needs to preach a little more. That's good, bro. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Like you said, who's he going to get to be the king or the governor? Who's he going to get? Who's he got to choose from?
Bro, for real. I just love it. I love it when the Pharisees say to Jesus' disciples, your rabbi is eating lunch with sinners. Who else could he eat lunch with? I mean, they're picking the ones that they think are worse. And indeed, a lot of what those people did, tax collectors and all that, was like there seems to be a special place in hell for them. But we're all falling short of the glory of God. And God loves us and he's crazy about us. Let me get to the text for an answer to submitting for Jesus' sake. By the way, that one for me keeps me coming back to Jesus. In this church, we've lost a lot of people because we honored most of the restrictions that were in place. And they were people I loved deeply. Some I've known since they were children. And I get why people will be frustrated, and we're about to look at some stuff in the passage that gives us, or at least elsewhere in the text of God's word, that gives us reasons to push back when things are ungodly. But I'll say this. No, I won't. All right, here we go. 1 Peter 2:16-17. Live as people who are free. I love America. You got to hear this. I was literally born right before America's birthday. I'm a July baby. I'm a July 1st baby. I love America, and I'm grateful for America, and it's been such a wonderful gift to the world. But our freedom doesn't come from the American government. It comes from Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this about the church in China, but it's exploding in growth, and it is one of the most oppressed churches ever on the face of the earth. In the Middle East, people are growing in Christ, and they live in countries where it is totally at the cost of their life that they would stand up for Jesus. They're free. In prison ministry, there's been so many people that I know that have been in prison, and that's where they became the most free in their whole entire lives. Some people use it as excuses. Some people use it as a way to manipulate. But there are some people who have been set free whilst in prison. The freest they've ever been. And not just because they're forced to be good, but they had a transformed heart. right then and there. So live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. That's easy. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor or the king. Look, I'm going to unpack that a little bit more in the Live It Out video, that last verse, but I wanted us to look at this one more time, and it's up on the screen. Honor everyone. We are image bearers of God. Would you just take a quick peek around? All these people, men, women, different shades, children, image bearers of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. There's a difference between everyone and the brotherhood, because not everyone's in the family. But you can honor everyone. God has given everyone breath. He's given everyone something to eat. He's given them water. Honor people. Treat them like they're image bearers. But the one time he says love in here is for the brotherhood. I'd love to unpack this more and more, but I can't. I don't have time, and it probably should have been way more focused, I don't know, 30 years ago. But keep going. John 13:35, Jesus says, people are going to know you're my disciples by your love for one another. In 1 John 4, we find out that love is from God. Gosh, I have to read it. All right. I'm not apologizing for God's word. I'm apologizing for taking a lot of time when there's like three people downstairs able to watch children because of sickness today. But here we go. 1 John 4, this is bonus. You won't have it on your screen, but you could have it on your screen on your phone or on a Bible. 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Not love is God, but God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest. It was shown among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected, made complete in us. We're having precious little response to this. Small groups. It's not, I don't know. I don't know. I can tell you why I don't want to be in a small group. I don't want to be in a small group because I'm tired. I don't want to be in a small group because I gave it the office. I don't want to be in a small group because then somebody's going to know me and somebody's going to get into my business. I don't want to be in a small group because what if I say something stupid? Like it's not being recorded right now. I mean, pick them. Well, I don't like the topic. I don't know what these people believe. I don't know anybody. Please love the brotherhood. Get involved. Try 6 weeks with a group. Oh, this person talks so much. This person talks so little. This person's always right. This person's never wrong. Oh, I'm talking about myself. Please get to know people. It's going to be messy. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be beautiful. Listen to this. Reed and Joy Nixon, brand new, basically, to the church in the last year. We'll lead a group. We're going to talk about the Sunday sermon. We're going to have a potluck-style dinner. Kids are welcome. First and third Tuesday. You don't even have to go every week. I mean, there's so many reasons for you to go to this. Food and your kids are welcome. Some of you are like, I don't have kids. I don't want to go to that one. Sweet. Bill Chapman and Leslie Cutler are leading a group right here. The topic, Sunday sermon. There's no child care. Every Tuesday, 7 o'clock, right here in the building. David and Caitlin Rapoon. Every other Thursday from 5:30 to 7:30. That's exactly, it's just so long. 2 hours of my life. Topic, Case for Christ. Oh, there's also food there, and kids are welcome. Ben and Darcy Murphy. Very busy people. Lots going on. Teachers in this community. We're going to meet Tuesdays at 7. Topic, Prodigal God. Mike and Mary Mead. You guys, they're stepping out. This is uncomfortable for them. But they want to do it. They want to help people understand the reality and how to deal with spiritual warfare. Child care is provided, and they're meeting right here. Look, we've got Sultan, Crosswater, Gold Bar, Crosswater again, which happens to be Sultan. If you're looking at that, you're like, I don't know how I could love the Brotherhood. I don't know any of those people. This is why my hair has been going so very quickly. What little bit I have left, I feel like pulling out. I get these excuses, but that's what they are. And I'll remind you, excuses stink. Find a reason. I washed my hair, I promise. Find a reason to get together, not a reason not to. I've got to move on, but this is the Love of the Brotherhood, and I am begging you, get involved. If you don't see a group that you like, let us know. Start one on your own. So here's the reality here. I'll lose some of you if I don't do that. So, you guys, Galatians 5:13, the first person there, would you stand up and read it out loud for us? Galatians 5:13, just a reminder of why we're set free. Who's got it for us? Please do.
For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh.
Can you click that for us, Pete? Thanks. Good pause. Hey, that was a super great pause. Thanks, Pete. Thank you so much, Carol. Through love, serve one another. We've been given a great gift of freedom. How are you using it to grow closer to God and to one another? You don't have to go to all these groups. You may not even have to go to any of these groups. You may already be a part of one. Outstanding. But I can tell you, you're not going to get the kind of fellowship, the kind of discipleship making, the kind of opportunities to grow, the kind of opportunities to get over yourself here on a Sunday morning that you'll get on a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, a Monday night, a Thursday night, whatever it might be. So 1 Peter 2, 18 through 20. Servants, the word for that is also slaves. Sometimes it's household slaves that the word means. Sometimes it's a slave that's just out in the field, treated pretty poorly. We don't have slavery in our everyday lives very much, but there's more people enslaved today than there has been ever, and a lot of it is sexual exploitation, trafficking people, little kids working for very little to nothing. There's nothing in the Bible that encourages or says slavery is good. It recognizes that during the time there was slavery. And here's what he says. Let's deal with being slaves by being humble and by submitting. That is really different. That's beyond normal. Listen to this. Servants, be subject, submit to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. What kind of a thing is that to God? Gracious. You've been given grace, he says, show grace. You've been given love, so show love. You've been forgiven, so forgive. This is really, really hard to do. You're going to need Jesus for this one. Point made. Thank you, God. When you're mindful of God, you endure sorrows while suffering justly. This is a gracious thing. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it that you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. He said it twice now. That you and I would endure unjustly being treated poorly. God, in his infinite wisdom, put forth his Son, who knew no sin, to become our sin, that we might become his righteousness. All at the same time, that was an injustice, and it was justice saying, I'm paying for it because nobody else can. Maybe you'll be able to show people who Jesus is by struggling and suffering and being mindful of God and not rebelling and not pushing it back in their face and calling them names and saying, I'm not going to listen to you. By the way, back to the honor the emperor. Do you remember the, not my president? Look, if you live in the United States, whoever the president of the United States is your president. I didn't vote any of the ones that have been in for a long time now. I've written in people, and I've been told what an idiot I am, and you're throwing away your vote. Well, whose vote was it again? And I'm supposed to vote my conscience? I'm supposed to honor God, and I honor people. I pray for Joe Biden. The truth is, when I hear him talking, I feel sorry for him. When I see the things that former President Trump texts out, I feel sorry for him. And I'm wondering, like, can somebody just grab the dude's phone? I mean, seriously, you guys. Not my president. Why are you still here? You want to go to Canada? You want to move to Europe? Stand up for what's right. Tell the truth. Submit when it's not telling you to do something that dishonors God. And there again, we have this long debate about all the restrictions that we just had. You guys, there's a lot here. I'm going to say, how? How in the world do you submit to people who are unjust? How do you do this gracious thing in the sight of God? I'm going to bring you to Acts 4, 18 through 20. I'm going to have to read it because we're in a hurry here. These guys have just healed a crippled man. I don't have money, but what I do have, I'll give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. And they got in trouble for it. You ever gotten in trouble for doing something good? My first response when I get in trouble for doing something good is thinking about doing something bad. Which now at this age, I would just get wore out. But I'm not your standard. And I don't punch people. But my tongue, as we read in James, can be really sharp sometimes. So they get arrested, and then they call these dudes out to ask them, and they are the religious leaders, and they're saying, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. You're destined to make us responsible for killing him. Bingo. You did. And so listen to this, Acts 4:18, they called them, and I encourage you really to go check this out on its own in Acts 4. It's a good, really good read. Peter and John. So they called them and they charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. This is actually a civil disobedience now. But they're saying, we've got to honor God. If you think I'm not supposed to, that's yours to judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. One chapter over, there's all kinds of things that are going down. They're in more trouble. They've been put in public prison. Peter answers again, Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. How about this? Remember Acts 16? Paul and Silas get arrested for doing good. They get beat up. They get treated poorly because they're Jews. It's a whole racial profiling thrashing on them because they're a different race. They get put into prison. And at midnight, they're praying and singing hymns. They're not scheming and scamming on how they can kill and have a revolt. All of this, they say, we must honor God. And later on, Peter, who is a sword-wielding fisherman who missed the dude's head but got his ear, is now writing, humble yourself, subject, submit. All of it's true. Don't submit if they're telling you to do something that's wrong. Not just something you don't feel comfortable with, but something that's wrong before God. You must submit to God first. Jesus said, render unto Caesar's what's Caesar's, and unto God what's God's. This is a powerful time for us. And God says, it's a gracious thing to humble yourself. Not because they deserve it, but because you and they need it. We trust where God can lift our head, where God can give us strength, where God is our focus. I'm so focused on being treated poorly that I forget that I've got breath and I've got life and I've got a chance to shine. I've got a chance to lead people to Jesus, which leads me to 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Three words for you really quick, and it's the same word, and it's the name above all names. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's why we do what we do as Christ followers. I want to look like Jesus. I want people to look at my life and go, he's different. Not just why, but different. I'm under different management. I point people to the King because he has set me free. So here we go on the Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. His next four verses give us our example and how we can be internally and externally different than we ever were before. Listen to this. Verse 22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. You cannot say that about yourselves. Only Jesus can that be said about. You might in one circumstance where you're in trouble for something, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't lie. I wasn't sinning. Wonderful. Then you're more like Jesus in that moment than maybe you'd ever been. But here's the next one. When he was reviled, accused, mocked, made fun of, maligned and slandered, he was lied about. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. At this point, I'm gone. People make fun of me and mock me. Okay. Now, I grew up in a community that if you were made fun of, you made fun of them. whoever them were, including my own mother. I gave my mom yo mama jokes. I was talking about my grandmother. We were quick, very quick-witted, and boy, did that get me in trouble. Where words are many, Aaron is not absent. But instead, when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. Oh, Lord, I need to be more like Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So do my friends and my family. Help us to understand the difference here, Holy Spirit, of when to stand up and say, don't treat me like that. And when to not threaten, when to be quiet. I'm mindful right at this very second, Lord, of how Jesus spoke to Pontius Pilate and didn't to Herod. Lord, I don't understand when and why, but I know you. And I want my people to know you, my family, my children, my wife, my grandchildren, all of my friends and family here, all over the world. May we entrust ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Final two verses about Jesus and his example. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's the cross. That we might die to sin. I always think the word might is there because he gave us free will. And some of us are like, nah, that's not for me. How about how many people are like, it's not about sacrifice. It's not about being sheep. It's about being lions. It's about standing up. It's about fighting for the rights of others. And I love all of that. But I'm here to tell you, if we're going to be like Jesus, wait for it, because this is really important. We are going to suffer. You don't have to look for it. You follow Jesus, it's coming. And yet he's the one that lifts our head, and the one that judges justly is who we trust. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And not just your hip, and not just your cancer, and not just your hair, but your soul. Forever. That's the healing. You can use this and talk about body, and indeed he does that kind of healing, but that's only temporary. The eternal healing is that we, who knew all kinds of sin, were set free by the one who didn't. He paid your price. Nobody else could. Final verse. For you were straying like sheep, but now you return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. How do we submit? Like Jesus. Why do we submit? For Jesus. Lord, help us to understand what this looks like. Whether it's questions that we talk about, whether it's people that we talk to, whether it's groups that we sign up for, whether it's letting somebody in traffic, just simple things, big things. God, would we be more like you? Would we trust you and believe that you actually bring people to you? I know, Lord, that there are people who need to see you, and the only way that we can silence them or silence them is to be humble, not screaming in their faces. God, I don't want to be an insulter or a slanderer. I don't want any of my friends or family to be either. Help us to be the kind of people that know that we've returned to the one that sees us, the one that holds us, the one that shepherds us, the one that will never let us go. The one who laid down his life for us. God, I pray this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.